a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, to be glorious, yes I do declare. The meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in a sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. So singing you'll hear, never heard by mortal. Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air.
You have heard of little Moses in the chorus. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You've heard the story told, dreaming Joseph, and of Jonah and the whale we often sing. There are many, many others in the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting.
Looking forward to that time in the air. Well, you know what? We've had a pretty good journey down here. Been a lot of stumbling blocks, a lot of potholes that we've had to go through. But I'm going to tell you something. It's been worth it every step of the way. And whatever it cost us to get there, we're getting a real deal. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. God bless you.
Things will there be missing at that meeting? For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinners have refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our angers will be lifted at that meeting in the air.
Oh, there is
going to be a meeting in the air, in that seen, you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the meeting one
at the meeting.
The air.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. I've just got to read something to you before I let you sit down. I could take a running spell this morning. When I read this right here from Brother Ben Lawson, this is a testimony. Before going to camp, I had been seeking the Holy Ghost. Brother Darrell was preaching, and I went up and told him my need for the Holy Ghost. He gave me a handkerchief he had been using and told me to give it back to him once I received the Holy Ghost. Brother West took time to talk to me. I'm glad to say I gave Brother Darrell back the handkerchief. Before I left camp, he received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That's good, ain't it? Oh, that's good. That's real good. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's not dead, folks. He's still alive. We have not because we ask not. How many of you need things in your life? Why don't you start asking? Why don't we start believing? He's more. You heard about it last night. Deposits made into your account. Deposits made into your account. Your account will never run dry with Him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our request this morning. Have some folks visiting with us from Columbia, South Carolina, the Tate family. And we're going to be hearing a song from them. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand back here? Raise your hands real high so we can see you. God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. So glad to have them with us. Want to pray for the Latang family from Alberta, Canada. Has two children that's suffering from epileptic seizures, so we certainly want to pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful of those children this morning. I want to pray for Brother Jonathan Baker. He's in a lot of pain with his back. Let's remember him as we pray today, that the Lord would be mindful of that request. Brother Amos and Sister Lisa offered this testimony this morning. Brother Amos touched on it just a little bit last night, but says over a year ago our son Nathan faced a trial that turned his life upside down for that long he has been out of church, and we watched Satan try to destroy his life. About 2 months ago, the Lord gloriously saved him, and he's been back in church soaking up the preaching at his pastor, Brother Ron Spencer's assembly. We know he has a long way to go, but we also know that God finishes what he starts. We believe that, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Keith Phillips sends this in. My Aunt Dorothy Hughes has been in the intensive care, very sick. Doctors aren't offering any hope, but I know she is healed. They have brought her home, so praise the Lord for that this morning. We just continue to pray for her. Brother Keith Yance wants us to remember Kathy Yance in prayer. She will be having surgery on Tuesday, so let's remember that need as we pray. Sister Joy Livingston sends this in. Our grandson, Caden, asked for the church to pray for him. He's been very sick since Tuesday. Been to the doctor, to the emergency room, cannot keep anything down, in a lot of pain. So let's pray for that young man, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Carter Lawson says to please remember my sister-in-law and her family in your prayers. Her husband passed away last weekend, so let's remember that family as we pray. We want to pray for the Fritz family today also. Mr. Fritz lost his son. You may have saw it in the paper, 55 or 56-year-old from Mountain City passed away. And let's pray for that family, for comfort in their hearts. I want to pray for Brother Jason DeMars from Minnesota. He will be leaving for a missionary trip to Turkey and ask the church to remember him in our prayers. So let's certainly remember him as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, how many of you know God is bigger than whatever our problem is? Could we stand together? Brother Rob, would you come this morning? Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Rob Weber, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Bless you, my buddy.
Thank you, bro.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving, once again, we come before you in prayer. Lord, there's so many prayer requests that have been mentioned, Lord, opportunities for you to magnify who you are in these people's lives. I pray, Lord God, that we come together as one unit. Last night, it struck me as the oneness is becoming closer and closer to that tangible reality, Lord, that we can see it. Thank you, Lord, for grace and to be part of the eternal just as more than our minds can comprehend. But Father, I pray, Lord God, for these prayer requests that are made, and I thank you, Lord, for opportunities. I thank you for opportunities of testimonies, and what greater testimony could you have than receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost? Lord, what else could we have desire or need of? Many of these needs are physical. Some of them are lost. Some of the things that, Lord, are just so hard for the human mind to comprehend. But Lord, if we have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God lives in the body and in the bride, Lord God, what else could we really have need of? Help drive the fear from our hearts, Lord, that love could saturate our souls and hear from you this day. Lord, let Scripture be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Rob, God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. All you visitors today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you in our service today. All those that are streaming, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. We're going to try to work about three songs in today, so we're going to hurry right on through and give our pastor plenty of time. How many of you looking forward to hear a little bit more about representation?
Yeah.
Hey, man, aren't you glad for it? Aren't you glad you've got some representation?
Yeah.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Somebody say, it's really me. I've really got representation from the other side. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. I held on. Let's finish that song. Brother Harry was singing the chorus of it last night, a little bit of the verse when Brother Donnie came out to preach. But let's sing that song this morning. We're just going to hold on, aren't we? Brother Harry, we're just going to go on anyway. We're going on anyway. Look at somebody and say, let's just go on anyway. You didn't look at nobody, but I believe you mean it. Look at somebody and tell them, you can't all look at me, look at somebody else. I'm going on anyway. I'm looking at all of you. We're going on anyway. Praise the Lord. Singer, buddy. But I just held on. That ain't the way that song goes.
The storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero.
I just
till the storm was over.
Give me the chorus, please. Chorus.
Because I'm good, not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, but I held on.
Yes, I just
till the storm was over. How it is that I'm still standing.
Praise the Lord.
You wonder how I made it through the storm. I can't boast of any special powers. There's no secret. I just have.
Because I'm strong.
can tell that things are finally happening.
Glory.
I've got blessings I can call my own.
Yes, we do.
Many times I wonder if I would make it. But while I was wandering, my seed just kept holding on.
And I held on
till the storm was over.
Not because
be a hero, and I don't have all the answers, but I held on till the storm.
Again,
I can tell that things are finally happening. I've got blessings.
Blessings
I can call my very own. Many times I wondered if I would make it.
Hallelujah.
But while I was wandering, I just kept holding on.
Over the line, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
I'm so glad
I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was traveling along the back roads, heading the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound.
Oh, yes.
Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was headed in the wrong direction. My sin dark as night. Satan standing between my soul and the light.
Oh, Jesus
gave me a light to shine.
Yes,
when
He
saved this soul. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Yeah, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
It's the line that separates the darkness from the light.
I'm so glad
I crossed over in
time. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. We're going to try to work three songs in as quickly as we can. Sister Tamika has a song for us this morning. I'll take these in the order that we got them. Brother Paul Tate, visiting with us, has a song this morning. Also, Sister Cindy Hunt and some of the sisters, of course, they're going to do for us this morning. All you folks, if you just come onto the platform real quickly. All of you real quickly. I don't see nobody moving nowhere. Nobody moving nowhere. There we go. Everybody start moving a little bit now. Come on, let's get ready. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Sister Tamika, God bless you as you sing for us. Brother Paul, you sing second, then we'll have these sisters sing last. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing this morning.
Satisfy my soul, and I stand amazed at the blessings I've known, and still till this day, the mercies you've shown make it clear to see that you love me. You give each breath that I breathe. You cover the sky with beauty for me. You've proven that you will provide for my needs the way you fill me, Lord. How could I ask for oh.
give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Can you help me sing it? I give myself away. Oh, oh, oh. I give myself away so you can use me. Let's sing it one more time. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can. Here I am, here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. All my, all my plans. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you. Not my own, to you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. Because I belong to you. I belong to you. Can y'all just sing that? Say, I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong. I belong to you. I belong to you. Just one more time. I belong to you. I know that I belong to you. I give myself away. Hey, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh God, I give myself away so you can use. And I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you.
have made, I'm laying down. All that I hold dear, my many crowns, I've tasted and seen of your great love. You satisfy me.
Your glory, This morning, don't you? There's absolutely nothing like the presence of God. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 4. This is the bridegroom speaking to the bride in those descriptive terms that only he could be able to do. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bath-Rabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. Remember, this is the place where Elijah done a lot of his great works at. So the bride is identified with Elijah ministry on her head. The Elijah minister wasn't in her feet. It was up here. And the hair of thine head like purple, which is royal and divine. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. I want to tell you, the grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Sickness couldn't hold him. The powers of hell couldn't hold him. But he can be held by his beloved in the galleries of love. Let's read this uniting time and sign again from, we read it last night. The uniting time is at hand, for God is getting the church together to be a rapture, to go to the wedding for the great union. When God and man will unite for eternity. When creatures of time unite with the eternal. It was once done in the form of the Son of Man on earth, and he had to give his life to bring about a power to unite other men with this same power. This is God's purpose, of course, for the bride of Jesus Christ. Now the church is uniting itself to the body of Christ. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered today before the Lord in prayer? Amen. Me too. Lord Jesus, we count it such an honor once again that we could be gathered into your divine presence. We thank you, Lord, for the service we had here last night, for your great being that moved among us, for you removing a little bit more of the veil off of our eyes, helping us to see you and us a little bit more clearly. We desire, Heavenly Father, that you would take your word and may it once again strike our hearts. We know, Father, that it will take a piece of a needle, a diamond, that will be able to lay upon the Word that which has been canned and contained. That gift which comes from you can be able to lay upon that. And as it does, it will begin to open up things that you have written in your Word. We're thankful, Father, that you allowed yourself to be cut, so the diversities of your gifts could be sent in the body, that we might be benefited, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord, your great, pure word, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again today on the eternal in the galleries. The eternal in the galleries. God, in his great, wonderful being, desiring to be so expressed, become tangible, material, that he could be loved, felt, touched, and adored. Also, that he himself might be able to touch and love and feel and adore. But yet, we know that with all of this coming into expression, it would cost him a great deal. God desiring to love you and you to be able to love him. But to bring that to pass would be a great cost involved. That cost would be his condescension to come to place of such humility that the world would despise him, crucify him. But to him he deemed it well worth the cost and the price. We know the prophet tells us that things of value come of great price. He said, it cost me something to bring you this message. We feed on it, we enjoy it, and we're so blessed by it. But I'm sure we have no idea the cost that was involved in bringing us the Word of God. Same with our salvation. We read about what the Lord Jesus did and what he gave. But in our minds, we're relating to it as a human, not thinking from the terms of being previously in the form of Logos. To condescend, for us to condescend as Christians, to be sinners, for other people's sin to be placed upon us, would be a horrible thing. But can you imagine condescending from being the eternal, from being that light of God, the angel of God, the Logos, and then allow sin to be placed upon you? There's no way we can relate to that. We simply have to take his word for it and know that it was a mighty work of love and grace. And for that, we are eternally grateful. But yet, I think that as we look at God and know that God is the only thing, the mighty Elohim, is the only thing that is eternal. So everything that is eternal will have to come from that one source. Man is not eternal. We know that time is not eternal. We know that sickness is not eternal. The governments of the world are not eternal. We know that there are many things that the eternal allowed to be expressed in time. If I can relate it to you this way, that eternity is like a circle. But if the eternal desired to allow things to be expressed in time, say, in this circle, he would begin in this slot of the circle, and it would begin here and run around, we'll say, over to this far. That would be the beginning of time and the ending of time. But it's still fitting into the circle of eternity. So before time began was eternity. After time is over, it will be eternity. But in this expression of time, from this point to this point, God is bringing out something that is absolutely necessary. In the expression of time, there will be things that will be made known that will not be in back into the eternal ring again of eternity. So there are things that exist now that will not be in eternity. Yet those things which are eternal never actually started when point A began in time or when point B ends in time. They've simply run the course in the element of time, but they actually came from eternity themselves. I hope you can understand today that we, by the grace of God, if we are one of his attributes, we never started on any certain day. And we certainly will not end on any certain day. Let me read this to you from Sir Zuizzi Jesus. God is life, life eternal. In the beginning was God. He wasn't God at that time, because God, the English word God, means object of worship. And there was nothing but him. He was the eternal. He was the eternal. Just the eternal one. There was no moon, no stars, no angels, no nothing. But in his being that we call God our Father was attributes. In him was attribute to be Father. And it was attribute to be Son. And he was attribute, listen now, to be the Savior. And he was attribute to be the Healer. All these things that we now see is just displaying his attributes. Now, if you were in his thinking at the beginning, if you've got eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. one form of eternal life. There was only one form. Now remember, there's many forms of botany life, of animal life, even of human life, but there's only one form of eternal life. Eternal life had no beginning, it has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but Him. This is why you wasn't saved on no certain day. You always was saved. Now you had to recognize it. You had to come to that place. Notice now, your form, your shape, what you're in now is just a negative. When you come up to around 20, 22 years old, you were a negative, and death develops the picture to the positive that when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we already have one waiting. So now, in this increment called time, God is actually bringing out your form, your shape, your eye color, your hair color, your stature, whatever your skin color is. God is allowing that in time to be expressed. Now, the attribute that He thought of you in the eternal was, of course, for you to be the full expression. That was what you was in Him, but also what you would be in time. But He must allow you an element or an expression to come into the earth to get what you are now. Then death will fully develop that negative and change it from the negative into the positive, which it looks like at the moment of the change, it will be almost like a miniature death that will move upon those which are alive and remain. That something will move upon them, and it will be the ending of mortality as we know it, and the surging of immortality and our fleshly body. And it will fully develop the image that God had in His mind. Now already, if you've got the Holy Ghost this morning, you have crossed from the seventh into the eighth, where the eternal is. Now remember that seven is still the old world order of time, and that's why in the millennium is not the end of it, because after the millennium, there will still be sin. It was like the type of Ham being carried over out of the ark, and there was still sin after the antediluvian destruction. So after the millennium, there will still be sin, and Satan will be loosed out of his prison to go gather together his people. But once we go at the end of the seventh day, which is the millennium, and the earth receives her fiery baptism, then we go into the new type, which is the eighth day. And we know there is no eighth day. It's back to the seventh day. But in the book of Leviticus, it is called the eighth day. So it goes back to the very beginning. But in our souls, if we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have already crossed over beyond the millennium. We've already crossed over beyond time, and we're walking in eternity with the Eternal One. Not only is He eternal, hang on to your seat, but you are as well. Now, you did not receive eternal life as a gift from God that was something different from yourself if you are elect. Now, the difference between elect and non-elect. Non-elect will receive the gift of eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Notice who this is focusing to. He says nothing about the ecclesia of God. God so loved not the elect, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. That's not you. That's not the elect of God. It's not you coming down here in time to make your decision and you're going to receive an essence or a quality of eternal life that was never yours. It always was yours. You had to come to a spot that you recognized it for sure. And we in turn would call that being saved or redeemed. But yet it was always that attribute of God, that representation of who you were, was you before the foundation of the world. Oh, praise be to God. But God's mercy is so great that it will expand beyond the Lamb's Book of Life over into the Book of Life, and there will be millions of people that will be granted the privilege and the opportunity to enter into eternal life, not because they deserve it, not because they are from eternity, but because the grace of God gave them the opportunity. You're talking about a loving God, that He would not only redeem His own and not only give them this great thing, but He would give to others the gift of eternal life. But that's not you. You're not given eternal life. Hang with me now. You are eternal life. Now, I don't want to choke you, but I do want it to get yours just real tight as it's going down, so it'll make you think you're choking. Now, think, you did not receive something that was different than what you are. You are only acknowledging and brought to a place by what we call the new birth, to a place to where you recognize what really you always were. Well, my, my. Now, if you were in this thinking at the beginning, if you've got eternal life, if you've got eternal life, there's only one form of that eternal life. Eternal life had no beginning and has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but Him. Your form, your shape, what you are now, is just a negative. Now, watch. Let's come down here to a sermon that Brother Ram called The Oddball. Very unusual title for it. But he said, I'm likening God so that you won't be mixed up in what I've said today. Now, what he said this morning was the unveiling of God. So now he wants to say this so that they won't get mixed up in what he had to say in the morning service. Now he said, God is a great diamond, the eternal. God is a great diamond, the eternal. And when a diamond is brought out of the blue stones of Africa, I've been in the mines and watched them there, how they process this and get the great diamonds out, how they go through the crusher and the great blue fire diamonds, black diamonds come out, and they don't have much form, certain form. They're just a great stone, and really, they have no fire in them at the time. Now listen, he's likening the eternal to diamonds that he saw being processed in the mines of South Africa. Now he said they have no fire in them at the time. They're just a diamond stone, round, smoothed out, a lot of them, but this diamond must be cut. Now, it's against the law to have one not being cut. It must be cut, and then you have to have a receipt of where you bought it. Now, he said, because there's millions of dollars in them, and I liken God to that diamond. Now, get his thinking that God is likened to this diamond. So the diamond had to be crushed, and the diamond had to be run through a process in order for the light to be able to illuminate the 3 points of the cut inside the diamond. Now, those of you sisters who like diamonds and you wear diamonds, your brothers that have bought them for your wife, then you know there's the 3 C's of what they call in diamonds. The 3 C's. And that, of course, is cut and clarity and all that in the way that they measure, the way they look at it, and how that they rate it. Now, if it's VS1 or VS2 or VS3, that's very slight inclusion. Or it can be S1, which is slight inclusion, which is one, a dark spot, a piece of carbon. Many of them, the natural eye can't even see it. If it's VVSI, then you're talking about big dollars, because it's very, very slight inclusion. It will also then go according to the color, whether the color is what they call colorless, or you come down to G through H, and it will have a little bit of color on down. So it will be according to all of that in the way they look at it. Now remember, God is this way. How that God allowed himself to be cut in order to release something out of himself. Now he said, I liken that to God. Now a diamond is cut so it will reflect what's on the inside, the fire that's in the diamond. It has to be cut every little way, every little shape, 3 points, and you put the 3 points to a diamond. And a light against
it's a three-point object, will give seven colors and make seven colors. So we take the attribute of the Father, attribute of the Son, attribute of the Holy Ghost, and run them all down to a point. And what do? We put the light then upon that, let it shine through. It reflects the seven rainbow colors, which is a complete covenant of God. Now in that, God chose to reveal himself, but his light, his glory, his magnificence could not be revealed until first he allowed himself to be cut. The beginning of the cutting of God was when God became in form of creation. Now it seems difficult for us, but yet the eternal, there was no one there but him, but he wanted to expand himself. He's allowing himself to be formed and to be shaped. And that began not just at the cross, but when he began to form himself towards flesh in creation. So he created himself. Out of himself goes the Logos, or the Son of God, the angel of the covenant. Now watch. Brother M goes on to say, now notice, God was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. See, he was cut, bruised, that great diamond that from him might reflect gifts to the church. Now listen what happens after the diamond is cut itself. Now I've never really seen diamonds cut, just a little bit, but I do know that whenever the man, the individual that's going to cut them, he has a certain shape in his mind. When they find great gigantic diamonds, they will take that diamond, and now of course they use laser technology, and they will look at the diamond every way. They'll be able to x-ray that diamond and go through many different angles in order to reproduce the most out of that particular diamond. So you don't just grab a hammer and something go to breaking around, but you want to be able to get the most out of that diamond. So they'll x-ray it and look at it through laser and point it another way and another way and another way in order to be able to bring everything that can be brought out of that particular diamond. Now they might be able to break it up in many, many smaller diamonds and it will be worth more. Or if they find a real, real good visual look about it and they see that they can be able to make one that's say 3 carats, 5 carats, 28 carats, whatever it is, they'll leave it as one whole diamond and cut the excess off of the side. But they don't throw that excess away because it's usable also. Well, they can use it in little small settings around the bedding of one single stone. So they want to use every piece of that diamond that is possible to be used. Now remember, this is the eternal. This is the eternal. Now does the little bitty chips that come off of that great big diamond, are they just as much diamond as the big one is? Are they worth as much? Now think, are they worth as much? Would you go to the jewelry store and say, I want to buy a 2-carat diamond for my wife. And then you see another one there that's an eighth or a carat or a quarter of a carat. And now you realize you're going to pay a whole lot less. But it could have come from the exact same source that the big one came from. But yet, is it diamond? It is diamond. Is it of the same quality? It may or may not be according to the cut and according to the clarity. And according to the color. So, but you look at it, and in essence, it is the same thing which scientists tell us come from carbon that was coming from extreme heat that was formed in the earth from this whenever God made it. But now whenever we look at that, God himself was this great, gigantic diamond. But he did not want to remain this way. He wanted to allow himself to be cut. So in order to allow himself to be cut, he must be bruised. He must condescend, and that is in the form of creation. Now when he does that, there's parts that come off of himself. Now we are not part, of course, in that great condescension of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but he allows chips to come off of himself, and those chips will be used in different things. I hope that's what we are here today. We're little chips in this setting of the church, and God will take those little chips and set them around, and you raise then that gemstone, whether it's a pearl or whatever more that you put in the middle of that, and you'll raise that pearl or that ruby or that topaz or whatever, and you'll raise it up a little bit, and then you'll put the real small tiny diamonds on the outside rink of it. And yet whenever you do, it tends to enhance the look of that. Now you know that God always has one great gift, and that is Christ. And then God sent a great gift in every church age. And then God will call little small diamonds, and they will begin to work around the setting of that original gift. And when it does, it produces exactly the gemstone of what God wants for that age. And of course, in this age, it's making a wedding ring since we're married. We're not a necklace, and we're sure not an earring. We are a wedding ring because this is wedding time. Well, glory. Now notice he says he was cut, bruised, that great diamond, that from him might reflect the gifts to the church. Now keep in mind, we're talking about the eternal in the galleries. It isn't the light, because the light must return back when the sun is off of it to where it has been cut. I'm sure you've noticed it when you go into a jewelry store, whether it's in the mall or wherever it is, and they have those lights set so appealing. My, they're set inside of that case, and when you walk up past the case and your wife or your girlfriend, I mean, she's glued to that thing, and you're pulling on her, and she walks right by then, she just slobbering out the side of her mouth. And they all, you know, no matter how big they are, they always want a bigger one. Or no matter how clear they are, they always want a clearer one. And they've got those lights embedded right up inside the top of that case. Now you may not understand that, but those lights are a science within themselves. They pick the right kind of light with the proper amount of luminescence so that it will be able to bring the very best out of the cheapest of diamonds. Now when you go to asking to look at that and you pull it out, now they've also got to work on your subconscious in order to be able to reflect this to you, so they've got real nice lights above you that pretty much wherever you stand in that jewelry store, they want to replicate that look as much as possible. Then if you're very smart, you'll ask for a jeweler's loop. How many knows what that is? Well, we got a dumb bunch of dumb people here today. A jeweler's loop is a little thing that you put up on your eye, and then you pull that diamond up like this to where you're able to see how many things is in it. Every time I've ever bought one for Carol or anybody, I always ask for a jeweler's loop. They look and say, wow, you know about a jeweler's loop, do you? So you look at a jeweler's loop. Now you see, God has a jeweler's loop. The Word of God is able to put us now. Well, I tell you what, you can hold that jeweler's loop and you can hold a gigantic diamond out this far. You'll never see it. You've got to bring it right up within range and it'll be almost right there. And then when you go to looking at it, it'll show you and it'll say VSI, VS2, VS3. And you go to looking around with that loop and sure enough, there you'll see it. A little speck of carbon on the bottom side. Just a little bitty tiny spot over here and over there. You realize this is what Laodicea don't like about the Word of God. They don't like their life being brought under the jeweler's loop. But the real bride of Christ wants her life brought where God will be able to show her all of her deposits of carbon, of the flesh, of the things of the world, so he can be able to get them out of her life. And the church said, now, whenever you look at this, now watch how the prophet parallels it in the gifts that are in the body. Now, he said, because the light must return back when the sun is off of it to where it's been come from. Every little piece that comes from that chipping is not destroyed, but it's put to use. Now, he said, many of them are made into Victrola needles. Now, remember, of course, in this time frame, 1964, they were called a record player, a Victrola. Now, of course, we've been through the digital things now, different types of music and format, and most of us don't even have a record player anymore, although the LP albums and record players are making a comeback. Now they say the reason is because that vinyl enhances the sound and it produces a warmth and a resonance when the music is being played off of vinyl that a digital format will not be able to reproduce. So Sony and JVC and different people have now started making record players again. And different BMI music companies and all that are making vinyl records because there is a warmth and a resonance and a sound for those people who really are really keen to that sort of thing that they cannot reproduce. Oh my. Oh my. Isn't it amazing what one ounce coming back in again? What used to be in Saul is gone and now it's coming back in again. Well, the real gospel has been in Saul for a long, long time. It's went out in all the eyes of the people, but it's back in again with the bride. And a sound that is being resonated. It's beautiful. It's warm. And it resonates. was an ace, but how did the Victrola thing work? Now, of course, they would crank it on the side, and they would take the big long thing and set it down on the record. But what was it that was able to release the hidden identity that was on the LP, which is long play album? It was the needle. Now listen, the prophet said many of them are made into Victrola needles, and those needles bring force. That's been chipped from the diamond, bring forth music that's been canned into a record. I hope you see what I mean. The chip from Christ, the gift from Christ put upon the Bible. Don't you understand why we need pastors and teachers and evangelists as well as the prophet? When Brother Branham was here, he had to spend so much of his time proving to the people God still had prophets. Now that we're in the message, we still have to spend a lot of our time proving to the people God still got pastors and evangelists and teachers. Well, praise the Lord. Now, this is why that a pastor can listen to the word. A pastor can read the scripture. And you read that same scripture before church and you say, boy, that was so good. I enjoyed that so much. And God will take that gift of a pastor and set right down on that canned music. And it'll go to spinning around and that gift will go to bringing things out there. And you're thinking, Lord, have mercy. Why didn't I see that? How come I just read that scripture? I read that book in the Bible. Don't make the man something. Don't make an idol out of the preacher, but recognize the eternal is in your midst. That's the thing you want to do. You don't want to make an idol out of the gift. Oh, this man is so great, and this man, and this man. That's not what we want to do. We want to recognize a gift of God that is from the eternal. But the ability that God gives inside the body proves the eternal is still with us. Why? Because that little chip that come from God has been endowed with the ability to break into that word, hallelujah, and bring things that brings the bride to her place. Oh my, notice this. He says, the chip from Christ, the gift from Christ, put upon the Bible, speaks out the hidden mysteries of God to the believer. He knows the secret of the heart. He knows every person. Do you believe that? My, it would not be the diamond saying, see what I am? It's what he come from. It's what he come from. The diamond is a diamond. Because he's off of a diamond. Don't you love this rocket science about the message? A diamond is a diamond because he's off the diamond. You're eternal because you're from the eternal. And that's the way the gifts of the Spirit is. So a person is part of that diamond. It's sent, been brought down, brought into a gift to interpret, to preach, to teach. There's five spiritual gifts: apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And they're all for the edifying of the body of Christ. And just as sure as there's teachers and pastors, there's got to be prophets. You see what I'm saying? When he was here, he kept on trying to defend his office to the people. Now that we got unbelievers around this message. And I do say unbelievers because any person that says they believe this message and don't believe in pastors is an unbeliever. They're not a believer. I don't care what they say. I don't care how long the hair is. This is God's word, not mine and yours. You see, when you deny those diamonds and say we don't need those diamonds, you see what you're doing to God. You're throwing that right back in God's face and say, I don't need it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I need it myself. Oh, my. Notice how they're brought to interpret, to preach, to teach. And then he gives us the five identifications of what they are. And we believe that God is to be manifested in the last day among his people to the elect seed, according to the Bible, in the form of prophet. That's exactly what the word, not the man is God, but the gift is God. See, that's the needle. That's the needle. Now, people went to deifying the needle, which is the tendency of human beings, no matter who the gift is. Some folks will deify Brother Tim. They'll deify Brother Vin. They'll make this gift and that. Oh, this is the only man. Oh, I'm telling you what. This is the greatest man in all the world. You mean to tell me you are minimizing your God down to one little bitty old tiny preacher in Trinidad or one little bitty old tiny preacher in Johnson City? Our God is much bigger than that. Well, I don't care if it does make you mad. It's the truth anyhow. Well, glory. So what does God do? The eternal divides himself. Then he sets down the eternal upon the word. And the eternal begins to play the word. And then the eternals begin to hear it. And they begin to respond, and the music is released out of what's in the album, and they begin to hear it with different harmony than everybody else. To some people, it's a racket. To some people, it's a mess. To some people, they don't understand it at all. But to those who are part of the eternal, they have also been divided and chipped off of the eternal. Gonna go on. What's this in the future home? But what did Jesus do? God came down and expressed himself in the form of a man, a human being. Gave his life instead of staying here, which he was the king. But he gave himself to redeem the rest. You get it? When it's all over, then it's pulled right back. God's purpose is fulfilled. There is the eternal king again with his eternal subjects expressed in human flesh. And how did you get there? Because the eternal allowed himself to be divided and set down gifts in men's lives, and they played the mystery of your life. Do you understand? Your life is a record. That's why God can, by the word, discern what you have need of and anoint a man. You know, that gift in a prophet's life, that revealing of the Son of Man, that's not promised again in this age. It's only one to an age. Don't get upset at me, but to be honest with you, we don't need that in this hour. What we need is the finishing up in this hour. We're not in the chopping out stage, in the rough hewn age. We're in the fine honing of this age. Oh, my, let me read you this, and I hope it don't. Well, maybe it will. Hope it don't blow you up too bad. The true church of Jesus Christ the bride is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault. In her. Now you know they're talking about this. This is full of faults. I know some of y'all think you ain't got none, but you do. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. All his works are perfect. Listen to this. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. In the universe, I could see the stars, the moon, the sun, the stratosphere, the hemisphere. But in the bride is summed up the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. I need help, Lord, seeing this. Anybody else here with me? I need help, Lord, in seeing this. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God has spoken it. Watch carefully. Oh my, I love this on page 149. And now, and see this, before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was even God, God is an object of adoration. Adoration. And no one was there to worship him. So he was at that time only potentially God. He was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his house. Now remember, you was not a being. You was not a man or a woman or a little boy or a little girl around the throne of God, but you were alive in the eternal. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal. Are they not? The eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you. Are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. Lord, help me see it. Lord, help me see him. God is unchangeable, both in essence and behavior. We have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his ability, so therefore he is a God, must be omniscient. If he is omniscient, then he is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel even with himself. Do you ever get to a spot if you want a really intelligent conversation, you talk to yourself? Amen. You do, Brother Gene? Do you understand God never has ever talked to himself? God don't sit and think like we do. Reckon when I should... No, if I do that, I mean, that'd be crazy. I mean, where'd I get that thought out? That'd be crazy if me do that. Now, what if I did? You know, God had ever said, man, reckon what I should do. I mean, I know I'm the eternal. I was really thinking I'd kind of like to have a wife. I'd kind of like to have an earth. And I don't know. I've just been kind of tossing around. He's never talked to himself. Lord Jesus. Nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he can add to his knowledge, he is not omniscient. The best we could say is that sometime he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought. I get new ones all the time, don't you? Which, I mean, at least that's a good sign. At least I ain't dorky, you know. I mean, I don't know, just... I get new thoughts, and I do something, and I think, man alive, why did not I think of doing it this way? I could have done it this way, and it'd been so much easier. Why in the world did not I think of doing that? I could have bypassed this. God has never had a new thought. When he made the universe, he said, man, I wish I hadn't done that that way. I wish I had done it this other way. It'd been a lot easier. He's never had one new thought. Which also means he ain't got no new kids he didn't know about. Oh my, he has never had a new thought about anything. Because all his thoughts he always had. And always will have. Can you imagine? Trillions times trillions times trillions times trillions times trillions of thoughts. And none of them have ever been new. He never starts off the day with a new thought, a new goal, a new purpose. He never has to be renewed or refreshed. He has been from the eternity, and he's just as fresh as he was millions of years ago. One of the brothers after church last night sent me a text and said, I'm not 1 second older than I was 150 billion years ago. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Now think of it. All of his thoughts he's always had and always will have. And knows the end from the beginning because he is God. Thus the thoughts of God are eternal. And they are real. I'm glad a lot of my thoughts don't materialize. Y'all ever thought, oh, stupid stuff and oh, crazy stuff. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this and that and other. And boy, I'm glad a lot of them thoughts don't materialize. But you know what? God ain't got no thoughts like that. None of his thoughts. Oh, man, I wish I hadn't thought that. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. God's never had that kind of thought. He is eternal. Eternal. So he's never learned one thing. my mouth. The thoughts of God, they are real. They are eternal. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint drawn up, which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal and a part of God. Now, this is the way we try to relate God and make God like us. That God laid out His program, sort of like us building a house or building a building with a blueprint and a plan. Or we call the concrete guy, and we call the, this guy's going to do the framing, and this guy's going to do the cabinets, and this guy's going to do the roofing, and it's all laying there and on the blueprint, and then we get with Lowe's and Home Depot and, you know, see who can get the best price, and then it starts taking form and substance. But God's thoughts, because He is of eternal essence and behavior, His thoughts were already substance and form while they were yet in His being. Watch this now in the future home, paragraph 129. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The three stages. It was an attribute. First was in God. Then He thought of Himself as being human, and that transmitted Him down to be Jesus. And now if you'll ever be there, you was with Him then. For there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And you had to be a part of God at the beginning, not what you chose down here. He chose you. That also transmits down to the elect. Now, let's go into another phase of this. Into the phase of representation. And remember, I made mention of here last night that about 3:30 in the morning yesterday, the Spirit of the Lord spoke this word to me. And I began to hear it over and over and over again. I thought I was ready for this weekend services, but whenever the Lord began to speak this to me, I got up. After I got up early, later in the day, in the morning, and I went downstairs and started looking to see what the prophet said about represent, represented, representative, representation. The meaning of it is this. This is one of the meanings. Statement or account made to influence opinion or action. The act or action of representing. The state of being represented. How is God going to make sure these thoughts, once they are embedded in human beings, which are so frail, how can He be sure they won't fail? How can He be sure He'll gather every thought? Let's just be honest and face facts. If God left our destiny into our own hands, we'd do exactly what Adam done. That's just human beings. We'd walk right out of the Garden of Eden, we'd forfeit our rights to eternal life, we'd forfeit our rights to the health of God, but God would not allow your own ability, your own will, your own determination, but God had done this Himself. But He must do it in a way that there will be something along life's journey which will help you when you get in desperate times. Something that will affect your opinion. Representation. Notice this in identified Christ. Look at Jesus. All that we know, He was the manifested Word of God. We believe that. The Bible said He was. Well, watch what He done. His Messiah sign. The Pharisees had a little bit of light. They was good people. Lived a good Christian life. Or a good religious life. And had a little bit of light about them. They had organized a priesthood and they had a little light. But down at the bottom of their heart, they had no eternal representation in glory. So when they seen the supernatural done, they said, this man is a Beelzebub, a devil. What happened? That put what light they had. What did it do now? It put what light they had totally out. Because they had no representation to influence their opinion. But now notice, here was a little ill-famed woman, a prostitute. Now, if you've ever noticed this or not, if you've never studied it, but if you study on predestinated seed, light come on the seed, seed come to birth, predestination, foreknowledge, foreknow, you study all this, you'll find this woman right here was used by the prophet more than any other character in the Bible when it comes to representation and election. Now, he would talk about Jacob. He would talk about Moses. But yet he would talk about this woman and use her more than any other example in Scripture. She must be a bride type. Down in her heart, she had representation of one of God's thoughts. Now we know her story. She was turned out on the street when she was young. No doubt attractive, which was a trap to her. Satan began to pull upon the flesh. The five gates of the flesh, the five gates of the spirit. So you got those 10 gates forging against the one gate of the soul, which is choice. She had boyfriend after boyfriend, just one man's toy after another, married and remarried and married and remarried. Terrible shape. The people of the city would have nothing to do with her. The scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people of that day, there is no way they would even speak to this woman. She was trash. But down in her was a receiver. Now remember, we looked at it last night, like this wireless frequency, this body pack that's on my belt today. And it's set to a certain channel, a certain frequency. The receiver back here is set to the same channel or the same frequency. And when I speak over this wirelessly, got this little tiny antenna that comes out of the side. I can put it on my belt pack. I can put it in my pocket. And the range, depending on the receiver itself, can be 1,000 feet, 750 feet. Just depends on the system itself. But yet, a wireless signal can go and communicate from here to there. Oh, hallelujah. And it's so much better than the wire. Now, I used to have to preach like this when I was a boy. Not long ago, I had to preach this way, if you remember, when both microphones got out. Brother Terry couldn't even hardly get in the service because he was watching the cord under my feet. He kept on looking at the cord and looking at the cord. Now, I guarantee you, it's so much easier to preach this way than it is this way. Now, you see, some folks come to church and they come to Christ and they're constantly tied up to an old denominational cord. They're hup, hup, hup. What? Come back here now. You can't be baptized in the name of Jesus. Come on back here now. We don't believe in them. What? Get back here now. But oh, when you get free from that old denominational cord, and you don't have that old thing around your feet all the time, and you don't have some bishop pulling on you all the time, but you've been made free by the power of the living God, you are wireless. Amen. You are wireless. So this woman has this built-in receiver. It's buried in lust, all type of sexual impurity, filthiness. Hid behind a life that even the devil himself probably thought, that poor old girl, ain't no hope for. I've messed her up so bad, I mean, there ain't even no hope for her. But one day, the body pack. Sit down on the well. Here comes this hidden receiver. The prophet said she's wondering about that new man she's with. She didn't know she was just fixing to meet another one. And this one was going to change her life. Glory. She didn't want nothing to do with all that religious stuff. She seen how them men lived. She seen how them people lived. So here the body pack reaches down, turns it on, closes the lid, sets on the well. Woman, bring me a drink. Well, the outside, here's the frequency. looks over at him and said, how come you being a Jew asked me of a drink? I'm a Samaritan. We don't have nothing to do with you all. We're not in the same denomination. Now watch. Secretly reaches over, kicks it into UHF. If you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask me for a drink. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What was it? He's penetrating, contacting her spirit. Now notice the words he's saying is contacting her spirit, but it's got to go one realm deeper, and that is into the realm of the soul. Keeps on talking. You're very familiar with the story. Notice what is going on inside of her. This woman has representation. Now her hour has arrived for her opinion to be influenced by this wireless connection. Isn't it amazing? She don't go up to the Courier Journal and the Louisville Times and get on YouTube and go to researching Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing before I get involved in all this stuff. I'm going to turn on my smartphone and I'm going to find out. Let me look up Jesus. Who is Jesus? All right, Google. All right, Google. Who is Jesus? False prophet, liar, Beelzebub, devil. You better run, woman, run. But instead, God divinely turned on that transmitter. Just went. And her back life just rolled away. You see, it was the same Creator that stood there that day and said, let there be light. And there was light. And there was all that darkness laying upon the earth. And when He spoke, it rolled back the sea and the mist. And the seed that was laying there from some former civilization come to life. And this woman with that receiver inside of her soul, she said, I perceive you. You're the Messiah. Now we know that Christ is going to come. Now whenever Christ comes, He's going to tell us all this. He said, I am He. She dropped her water bucket and took off running. What'd she say? Come see a man who's told me all that I've done. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the anointed word? How did she get that? Born with the receiver. Amen. She was one of God's thoughts. There she was waiting in sin, but when she seen that happen, she said, sir, I believe you're a prophet. I know when Messiah comes, He'll tell us these things. What did it do? It cleansed her. Friend, if you're an attribute of God and you hear the light of God at this end, it leaves you in your sin. Lets you live any way you want to do. There's something wrong somewhere. If you think you can live however you want to live and live ungodly and filthy and unholy and fill your minds with rock and roll and television programs and all kinds of trash, it will cleanse you. He was the Redeemer to her because He could lift her up where she had come from. You know what amazes me about this? She never even knew. She come from up there. If you had asked her, are you eternal? She said, are you nuts? I'm filthy. I'm ungodly. I've been married all these times. Look at me. But when Jesus come, He come to redeem that thought. How did He redeem it? Put light on it. When He put light on that thought and the thought with the receiver, it had the recognition to come to a spot that she could see who He was. Amen. And bring her back where she come from. Which she didn't even know she come from there. Amen. Come on now, let's be honest. We didn't know we come from there either. But God sent us a needle in the last days in the form of a prophet. And then God sends us needles in the form of evangelists, in the form of pastors. And they begin to sit down on that same word and begin to tie them quotes together and bring it out. And you sit there mesmerized. What is it? The eternal is among us. The eternal is among us. Oh my, what's this in Jehovah Jireh? Now we notice no matter what the others done, how they walked away, those disciples were predestinated. They were ordained to eternal life. They couldn't explain it. They couldn't explain it no more than the rest of them could. But there was something in them. That representation of heaven. A thought that God had of them before the foundation of the world had manifested itself here. And they were connected with God. And was sure they was going, oh my, that was God's promise vindicated. Nothing is going to change it from them. That's real, genuine Christianity. That's real, genuine Christianity in 2016. Can I have a little bit more time? Look at that little woman. She'd fallen. Listen to this. She had fallen from God's thoughts. She had fallen from God's thoughts. That's where you were. That's where I was. I'd fallen from God's thoughts. That she could be redeemed. She was a subject. She had representation in heaven. She turned around. Look at the difference between her and them preachers, them priests. Them preachers, when they saw it, they said, well, this is a fortune teller. They didn't know the word. But she had fallen from the thoughts of God. This is where you had to be saved from your fall. It's not that you come down your line, well, am I going to be a Christian? Am I going to serve God? Let me decide now. Let me use my free moral agency. My free moral agency is so powerful and so great. It's almighty. My, how great it is. Let me decide now. Am I going to serve God? You Baptist, you. Notice this, mama. Hallelujah. In the future home, when Jesus came and manifested the word disowned the thoughts that was in the heart. Hebrews 4:12. The word was a discerner of the thoughts, and he came as the Son of Man, the prophet. What happened? The priest with only intellectual learning said, it's a devil. That's what people are saying today. Because that's what his denomination called it. What did it do? He had no representation, so it blacked him out. Don't you understand, friends, why some of these folks had to leave this word? They have no representation or predestination. And what will it do? It will blacken out what little bit of God they even had before they come to it. They'll be worse. They'll be worse when they leave this truth than they ever was before they ever found God in wherever form they found Him. Notice this. But this little woman, oh my, had nothing to represent. She was as filthy and dirty as she could be. But notice, way down in her, she's got representation. Now remember, representation, statement or account made to influence opinion or action. So she has representation. She was looking for this to be made flesh. She said, go get your husband. She said, I have none. Said they told the truth because you got five and the one you've got now is not yours. You've had five. That makes six yet. She said, sir, no, not your Beelzebub. I perceive you're a prophet. We know Messiah, which is called Christ, will come, and when he does, he'll do this. He said, I am he. The body pack is now transmitting the signal wide open to a seed of God. Glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, here are two eternals that have met. The eternal Logos is now standing there, reunited with an eternal thought of God. And he connects them both by identifying himself. I am he. Lord Jesus. No more doubt. You didn't have to explain it. She saw it. She believed it. Away she went. Why? What did it do to her? It redeemed her. Woman, ain't you going to check this man out? Ain't you going to get on YouTube? Ain't you good on Yahoo and Google and go over here and ask this witness and check on this man? You mean to tell me you're going to believe it just like that? Just like that. Well, what proof have you got? What witness have you got? I don't know, but this box inside of me is about to blow wide open. This voice receiver telling me, this is it, this is it, this is it. I don't need any more proof than the vindication that it's dealing with my soul and letting me know this is who I am. Now watch, he come to be a redeemer. Is that right? And the congregation says, amen. What does redeem mean? Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. He had no representation. He come to redeem that which had fallen. I absolutely love this next remark. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. But God had her in his thinking before the foundation of the world. And he come to cleanse her. See, she had eternal life. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Are you sure? She didn't have the Holy Ghost. The blood hadn't even been shed. And the Holy Ghost, oh Lord have mercy. The Holy Ghost hadn't even been given. How could she have eternal life? She was an eternal thought of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not bringing your eternal life. You being from the essence of God by Him thinking of you is what gives you eternal life. Where the priest, what did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. Remember, I said to you last night, your destiny does not come from your choice in time. Your destiny comes from your origination. He had nothing to begin with, only intellectual learning. Listen, friend, if the only thing you got is intellectual learning, you get something different from that. And you'll never be able to get it unless you've got representation. That's the reason I believe you come from the east and the west and the north and the south. The word living made manifest. The eternal would make so positive and sure that his thoughts would never be lost. Each one of them received this receiver when they're born. They'll struggle. Some of them will start drinking. Some of them will start smoking. They'll run around. They'll be raised in a denominational church and maybe even raised in a message church. They'll try to approach God. Maybe they'll start listening to tapes and reading the books. And I don't understand it. I can't understand it. Then they go out in the world and they live out there for several years and something's still pulling at them and pulling at them. They think, I've got to get back to God. But there's got to be more than just when they come back to a message church and they just try to read and read. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than you just listen to Brother Branham's tapes. You've got to hear the voice of God. You've got to let that voice of God be able to wake that thought in you and send down your representation. Then when you listen to them tapes, you'll hear them in a different way. Let me close. Those of us again in future home, you become a new person, amen. Not just an old one patched up by joining church or trying to turn a new page, but you're a complete brand new unit. God takes the old man and burns him completely out with the Holy Ghost and fire and comes himself and sends down your representation. No man can come to me except my Father has taught him. All the Father has given me will come. You see it. And the congregation says,
amen.
Same plan, same way. Satan, I love this, and let me just rub it in his face as I close. Satan will be taken from the earth just exactly like Satan was taken from you. Hallelujah! You never gave him up. He never went on his own, but God took devil out of your life. If he went on his own, he could come back. And if you willed him to go, you could will him back. But if God kicked him out, he can't sealed by the presence of God. God took the devil out of your life. God took sin out of your life. No! Satan cannot bother, or he can tempt, but he cannot get a born-again Christian. For God from the foundation of the world foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him, and the blood speaks for him. How can he sin when it can't even be seen by God? Whew. Lord have mercy. Let me close. The only thing he hears is your voice. He sees your representation. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now you see something has happened in the transmission. You see, this part here, the body pack connected to this microphone, connected to the receiver, plugged into a channel on the board. But it only works one way. And Brother Brad, whoever's running back there, I can pick up that receiver and try to talk. Hey, Brother Donnie, can you hear me? Brother Donnie, can you hear me up there? Brother Donnie, can you hear me? There's something wrong. Can you hear me, Brother Donnie? I won't be able to hear him because that's a receiver only. But when the thought is quickened and redeemed, God gives you not only the ability to hear him, but he gives you the return frequency where he can hear you. And it's so run through the frequency of the blood that he hears your voice, but he sees your representation. So he's talking to you from the body pack, and you're talking to him from the mystical body pack. And your voice comes up through the blood of Jesus. And the frequency is bent and twisted and comes up through the throne of God. But to God, it sounds just like Jesus praying. So instead of God hearing Tim and Wes and all these other individuals, it's not God all over the world. How many ever members of the bride he has? It's 10 million Jesuses. Or 1 million or 500,000, whatever it is. Because it's all coming up to the frequency of the blood. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, how can our poor minds be able to comprehend such a great, awesome God? It makes more sense to me, Lord, looking at it from your aspect of seeing in the Song of Solomon, how that you said, one of our eyes caught you. Turn your head away from me, you said. One of your eyes has overwhelmed me. You look at her and you describe her beauty and her glory. You say no fault in her, and your wisdom is summed up in her. Looking at it from the aspect of the diamonds being chipped, the big diamond could look at the little diamond on the record player and say, you are of me. You're a part of me. You are my essence. You are my character. Would it ever be placed on the ring of a queen? More than likely not. It's a little bitty old small diamond. It might be a little poor girl that'll wind up with that diamond. But it's a diamond nonetheless. So when you look at us and say, come away, my love, my dove, my fair one. Oh, my dove, there is no spot in thee. Let us go and take our fill of love. Hallelujah. When you're looking, you're not looking at our humanity, but it's that diamond part of you, the eternal speaking to the eternal. Lord, if there's one here today who's never met you that way, I pray you'd help them, Lord. Maybe they've come to this church, maybe they've been in the message for many years. They've heard tapes, they've heard sermons. But yet, Lord, something has never really changed them. They've heard it preached, but it's never actually activated that transmitter, as it were, in their soul to where they personally heard it, like the woman at the well. We read later in the scripture that when this woman went over there, then later Jesus came over to the city of Samaria and began to preach. And the men of that city came back to the woman and said, "Now we believe, not because of your word, but because we have heard him ourselves. Truly, this was the Son of God that was to come into the world." What an understanding they had of him that the great holy people in Jerusalem never had. But it was through a seed that had been quickened. Eternal life sprung up. And this is before the day of Pentecost ever come. Praise God. She was one of your thoughts. I've often wondered about her, Lord. Where did she go? What become of her? We don't even know her name. It's like she disappears from the pages of the scripture. I've never been able to find her identity in history. Never found her in the church writers. Whatever happened to her? A nameless thought of God. Yet her life has been used to preach and epitomize election, foreign nation, calling, and representation. The prophet used her so many times, countless of times, in discernment and in dealing with this great thought. I plan on meeting her that day, Lord. I love the words that he said, that she was one of the thoughts of God, which lets us know she wasn't the only one. There's more. I believe tonight, Father, there's some right here in this building today. Hallelujah. Oh, great Adonai. Maybe you found some of them married 3 and 4 times. You found some of them addicted to drugs, drinking, all kinds of mess in their life. Their family thought there's no hope. Others looked at them and thought there's no hope. But all it took was just being close enough to the body pack for the receiver to kick in. And you transformed their lives. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, great Adonai, may we be able to take a journey, as it were, in this love circle. May we journey from beyond our reasoning, beyond our humanity, into that sphere with the eternal, where we can worship and adore and love the eternal, and we will be so transformed on the verge of transfiguration that we'll be able to let the eternal adore us back, and will not be resentful or embarrassed. Oh, eternal, mighty God, we worship you, great Holy One. Glory to God. Can we love him, saints? Can we just worship him? Oh, if you've got that representation today, you ought to be so grateful to God. You ought to be so grateful that somebody said, "Brother Donnie, what if I'm not elect?" Well, I'll tell you what, this is the love of God. If you're sitting here today and you're not even elect, and you're not even bride, and you don't want to be lost, he offers you eternal life. None of us will have any excuse whatsoever. Well, bless God, if I ain't bride, I don't want to go. Well, that ain't the way I look at it. If I ain't bride, if you'll give me eternal life, I'll take it, Lord. I don't deserve it nohow. I'll take it, Lord. Can we stand our feet? You know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Listen to the words now.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise.
To you,
our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Everybody now.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Amen. Let's sing it now. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place.
Verse.
Let's sing it. You are
awesome in this place, mighty God. Place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, almighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
Well, I just feel like he'd like to sing a verse back to us. Of course. You are awesome in this place, my little bride. You are awesome in this place, my sweetheart. You came from eternity. You're one of the attributes that came from me. You are awesome in this place, my little bride. You are a part of that diamond in this place. I called and sanctified you for this holy race. Your name is in my hand. Your life is in my plan. You are awesome in this place, my sweetheart. You are awesome in my heart, little bride. You were there in my mind, little bride. I know you can't comprehend. I knew the beginning and the end. You are all I thought about, my sweetheart. Can't you see you're awesome in this place? that day on Calvary from my side. I had you in my mind. I knew exactly your time. You are awesome in this place, little bride. Let's sing it back to him now. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Father, Father. Worthy of all praise to you, our lives we raise. Oh, praise God. Once more before we go. Oh, don't you love him, children? In this place, my mighty God. Hallelujah! You're awesome, Lord God. You're our healer, you're our savior, you're awesome, mighty God. Oh, to you we give it all, Lord. Our lives, our souls, our minds, our bodies. Oh, Jesus, we give ourselves to you today, Lord. Just before we go, let's just raise our hands one more, just one more time, in the presence of the mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Think of it, friends. The great eternal has visited us here again today. Once more, the eternal has walked with us in the galleries. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this will have to do until we can see you at that day. Then we'll cast our crowns at your feet. We'll come up and touch you, and you will touch us. Oh, at last, Elohim will become material. And we'll be able to see you and love you. We'll see your eyes and your lips and your hair. Touch your precious hands. Lord Jesus, we long for that hour. And you'll come out and wipe all the tears from our eyes. Praise God. Lord, and we know when the earth receives her new birth, and the city descends from God out of heaven, and the throne is at the top of it. The river of life will start descending from the top of the throne. It'll come down to the backyard of those that are living closest to you. Run around their house. Go to their front yard. Then empty into the backyard of their neighbor. On and on and on and on and on it goes. For 1,500 miles high. And somehow it recirculates and keeps going over and over again. A tree of life will be blooming in every yard. Lord, we know we're near fruit eating time already, because the prophet tells us the tree of life is blooming in those that's got the Holy Ghost already. So we're getting close to going back to eating fruit in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life is already in our possession today. The kings that live outside, they'll come in from new moon to new moon and new Sabbath to the Sabbath. They'll break off a leaf of that tree of life and they'll hand it over one to another and say, we fought for one another at one time on the earth. We killed one another's children. But now we're at peace. And they'll exchange leaves with one another. But Lord, the bride won't do that. The bride's got this tree blooming in her yard. Because this is who she is now. It's blooming in her yard soul right now by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. We have been married to the eternal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go with us now, Lord. Keep us by your grace, Father.
We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. So happy we're able to be together today in the presence of God. The visitors have been with us in our gates. Trust God's blessings on you. May God be with you as you go. Let's sing it together. You're awesome in this place, mighty God. See you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. We'll come again once again to see what our Lord has to say to us. The Lord, Friday afternoon, I was praying, and the Lord put something on my heart. Not this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night, Lord willing, I'd like to have a deliverance service. That's for those who have sickness in your body, maybe habits, whatever it is that you need help from in the presence of God. Just waited and waited and waited and prayed about it this morning, thinking about it on during the day, even when I come out of the office there. I just couldn't get away from it. So Lord willing, I want the minister brothers, of course, to come and help me, and the deacon brothers, just be praying that the Lord will just come. You know, I don't do that unless the Lord tells me to. So I believe we're going to look for wonderful things to happen. Not this Wednesday night, but a week from Wednesday night. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. To you our lives we raise.
You are awesome in this place,
mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. As we raise, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.